At 4 o'clock on the afternoon of November 15, 2023, the Bozeman Public Library Board of Trustees held a public meeting in the library's newly remodeled community room to discuss the proposed leasing of the west side of the parking lot to the New York-based developer Left Lane. Left Lane had proposed to lease it for $1 per year for 75 years, with an option to renew for another 75 years. In their presentation to the board, they said that they would be responsible for building and maintaining a garage on the land currently occupied by 146 spaces, and that they would create 270 spaces for the library in addition to 154 spaces for their proposed large mixed-use development of a hotel, condos, restaurant, and other uses. KGVM was there to record for our listeners and posterity the proceedings attended by an overflow crowd of over 200 people. There were at least two Bozeman City policemen, and the crowd was so large, spilling into the hallway, where unfortunately they could not hear the proceedings, that a fire marshal had to control entry into the room. Many had signs against the proposal, which they held up against the interior and exterior windows. The recording begins with Library Board Chairman Stuart Moore explaining the proceedings, followed by a presentation from the Left Lane developers Casey Tippins and Andy Bernard. This was followed by questions from the board, primarily from member Mike Redburn. Then, the board heard public comments from over 30 Gallatin Valley citizens. Those comments begin at about 22 minutes into the recording and extend to about the 1 hour and 14 minutes mark, when board member Pam Henley made a motion not to proceed any further with the Left Lane proposal. After discussion by Pam Henley in support of her motion and the other board members, including Jan Pollack, Ken Spencer, and Mike Redburn, Chairman Stuart Moore called for a vote on the motion, which passed unanimously to rousing applause by the audience members.
We're going to do this in four steps. The developers are going to make a presentation to describe what they are suggesting be done in our work with the library. Upon completion of that presentation, members of the Board of Trustees will ask clarifying questions of the developers. It's not meant to be a discussion at that point. It's just to make sure that we fully understand all aspects and dimensions of the proposal. The third step will be open the floor to public comment. For public comment, we're going to ask people who have already submitted written comments to not also speak. We're also going to ask that comments should be about the proposal. It is not to be about development in general in the city of Bozeman. It's not to be about specifically the development over on Wallace. It's about the proposal to utilize library property. So I'd like to keep it focused on that topic and that topic alone. And then lastly, upon completion of those three steps, we'll then have discussion and a decision by the board about what possible next steps might be followed. So that's the process we're going to follow going through this. So at this time, I'd like to turn it over to Andy Bernard and Casey Tippins, who are going to do the presentation.
Thank you, guys. Contentious subject. And we're really eager to engage, and we're willing, you know, we're really eager to listen. My name is Casey Tippins. I live in Livingston, Montana. We've had a place there for 18 years. Myself and my wife and her family own a family real estate development company. We've been active in Bozeman for about 4 or 5 years now. One of the main projects that I've been working on is an industrial park over behind Murdoch's on North 7th Street. And we've redeveloped that and brought in rail service. So through what I've been working on in City of Bozeman, we're really working with the businesses in the old rail yard, which include Empire Building Materials, Simpkins Howland, and Kenya Noble. And that's how we got into working on this hard one. We came into it really wanting to work with our neighbor, so we went and met the library. And a lot of what you see in the interview and in that proposal are ideas and things that the library wanted and things that the city wanted. And so we'll go through those things and we'll discuss them and just hopefully bring clarity to the conversation and collaboration. And hopefully we can find a way to work together I'm going to turn it over to my partner, Andy Bernard, with Lethlon.
My name is Andy Bernard. Casey and I are partners. My firm is based in New York. I live in Connecticut, but I've been coming to Bozeman for 15 years. I've been coming here because my mom and my sister live here. My sister is a teacher at Zach Joyeb, and when she had her first son, my mom moved out. And I say that just to tell you that, to point out that I have ties to this community beyond what we're trying to do on the development side. And it matters to me that I do right by the community as a developer because I care about it and because I've got my mom to answer to. I've got a brief presentation that we'll take you through, and the intent is to try and address some of the concerns we've heard and clarify some of the things that we didn't do a good job speaking to in the proposal. I promise I'll be brief, but I'd like to just double down on Casey's sentiment. We're here to listen and learn and try and create something that everybody feels good about. That is the true intention and purpose for asking for this meeting. Slide one. This is simply to point out what the development site is, in case that wasn't clear. We are not developing anything, hotel and residential related on the parking lot. It is a mixed-use development that we are building. It's a boutique hotel, homes, food and beverage, and retail. As you know, it is currently an old building materials depot site. Because of that, there are serious environmental elements that you can clean up. I bring that up to point out that we are committed to cleaning that up. That's part of our development plan. This next slide outlines the key terms of the proposal that we made. And so I'll just take you through. The first and most impactful proposal was to increase and improve the parking on the library's parking lot. We are proposing to take the current 146 spaces to 273 and to cover 107 of them, meaning the lighting, and we're responsible for snow removal and all the maintenance associated with that. We simply proposed that because we thought it would be a better parking environment than there currently exists, in addition to the increasing the amount of spaces that are there. So that's number one. The second thing that we proposed was to create public pedestrian and bicycle access from Babcock through our development site so that people could get to the trails south of the library. We understood that was something that would be a positive for the community. I've walked my sister's dogs with her on those trails many times and understand it would be nice to get there from Babcock. So that was proposal number two. Proposal number three. I know that affordable housing in Bozeman is an acute problem. Problem everywhere in the U.S. right now and maybe nowhere more so than here. I know that because it's in the papers. I know that because it's impacting my family as a teacher. We would like to make a contribution to the Bozeman Community Housing Fund to deal with that, to help try and help deal with that. We're not affordable housing developers, not our expertise, so it's not something that we know how to do, but we thought that this would be a way to try and address that issue. I'll let Casey speak to it later, but he's also developing affordable housing in some of his other projects, true affordable housing in Bozeman, and as a partner of mine, that's something I'm... The project will generate 200 permanent jobs and 275 construction jobs, which are obviously beneficial to the community, and the project itself will generate an incremental $4 million of tax revenue, which would go towards the city and the community, and obviously could be used for things like affordable housing. Why are we doing all this? It's obviously not because we're altruists or simple. It would be wildly disingenuous to suggest that. We, in exchange, would like to build underneath a portion, really just a covered portion of the parking lot, underground parking for our development, and we were looking for some protections on the of the views of the homes that we're constructing from someone building an enormous parking garage, by example, right next to our development. This is simply the site plan. We tried to outline where the covered parking would go, the total spaces, the 87% increase, where the pedestrian access line would be, and what we didn't do, which was a really stupid move, was to draw trees We understand there's a lot of concern that we're removing all these trees and it's going to be a concrete wasteland. Our intention is to have equal or more plantings and trees in the parking lot area once we finish construction. That was an unintentional mishap, but I understand why it would be upsetting. In addition to that, we're happy to move the sculpture that exists on the public space wherever the library would like it. The additional parking at the end, if people are concerned that's eating into some of the green space at the very corner, happy to reconfigure that. It's just, all of these spaces are not for the use of our development. This is for library patrons and the public. In fact, are proposing that the city use their, they are in control of it, and it is not something that we have use of as a developer. This is just a reasonably poor rendering of what the green space would be putting on top of the parking for would look like with a solar array, a community garden, and a lot of landscape space. Another rendering looking north, and then again northeast or northwest. Another concern that we heard was that we're going to be eliminating the available parking while we're constructing. That is not the case. We're able to sequence it in a way so that at all times there are actually more spaces available for public and library patrons to use while we're constructing. This is the how we would phase it. So we would clear our site. We would have 120 temporary spaces there before we do anything on the library parking lot. And the 120 existing spaces on the east side would be available. Traffic. No one complains more about traffic than my sister. Since you moved here, you know, it's gotten outrageous. I understand that is a real pain in the butt. Because we are adding incremental parking spaces and putting all of our parking for our project underground, and therefore not leasing space around, we thought that we would be doing a better job of addressing the incremental traffic our project would be creating. That's part of the purpose of this. And that's it. That's the sketch of the presentation. Thanks.
Casey, Andy, thank you both for a good, clear presentation. We appreciate it. I'd like to turn over to us to ask any clarifying questions you might have.
My name is Mike Redburn. In regard to the statement that says partial constraint on height, could you give more detail about what those height restrictions are and where on library property, where they would apply?
Yes, so in case this is louder, the question is about the height restrictions we're seeking. Where are they? Where would they apply? The headline is, we're open to discussing something that would be workable. So we had proposed that if the library wanted to enlarge the property, that it not go higher than the existing building. But that is something that we are completely open to changing and moving.
So when you say open to considering something else, does that include eliminating that request altogether?
It does.
The proposed term of the lease was meant to be 75 years, renewable for another 75 years.
No.
Is that still the case?
The context for that is we understood that was a term that the city had used before. That was why we used it. We are open to not having that be the term of the lease. Open to discussing. Happy to.
Okay. Can you be specific about the advantages that will accrue to the library beyond the $1 a year ground rent payment and the potential of a few additional parking places?
Sure.
Potential.
Happy to. So the cost to build what we're proposing, not including our underground spaces, is about $11 million. It's about $40,000 a parking space. We understand we are not able to acquire library property. So if we're going to spend that money to build it, that was the initial value creation. So about $11 million. The ongoing cost of the maintenance of your entire parking lot, snow removal, number two. The public library access to the green space on top, we thought was a benefit. The access through the development site for the public, not just the library, was a benefit. And then we talked about, the Bozeman Community Housing Fund, again, not just for the library, but for the community.
Let me just ask a clarifying question, because in the MOU, it's very clear that the public does not have access to that green space. It's clear that it has to get approval or has to be accompanied by a library employee, and that if you wish to present any programs, the content, the number of participants, appropriate insurance coverage, all has to be approved by Left Lane. So that's what the words in the MOU state. So to me, that is not public property.
The way we intended to frame it was that if the library patrons should be able to have access to it, so long as they were accompanied by someone who works at the library. Happy to address that if that is not acceptable to the library. It was, again, to a starting point for a discussion.
Okay. Mike, do you have any other questions at this point?
The plan talks about first of all, there has to be an approach and a ramp down to the underground parking facility. And is it correct, am I correct, that underground parking facility is reserved for tenants of your development?
So the ramp comes from Wallace. And yes, the underground, under our site, as well as the portion that's under library site, would be for the development use, not just tenants.
Okay, so the approach and the ramp are built on your property?
Correct.
Okay, so also in that plan, there's a 20-foot wide service alley talked about.
Yep.
Can you tell me what the purpose of that is?
Yep, it is to be able to access the back of the hotel, so for food delivery.
And that is public property. That alley is being...
It is public property, but under the terms of the ground lease, we would be leasing it from. So you see that little strip in between where it says residences and covered parking and staff.
What benefits the library would that service alley provide?
Well, I guess the library for its dropping off whatever deliveries the library needs. It certainly could use it. It wouldn't necessarily have to be our exclusive use, maybe that's what you're getting at.
No, I'm just wondering, it's public property, and does it have, would it retain any benefit or control by the library? And I noticed in the MOU that it says that the library won't do anything to build on that or to obstruct it.
Right. Yeah, the legal construct that we understood was, in order to build something, we have to have a ground lease, otherwise we can't do it.
Right.
And we couldn't ground lease just the portion beyond that alley, so it was included up to the property. I guess we could think of it as you're allowing us to access on it, to it. Happy to explore that.
Okay. Thank you. You indicated about 275 construction employees. Where will they park during the construction period?
Good question. Because of how we can sequence it, we think we'd be able to do it on site in addition to finding space in some of cases of the property.
I just have one final question. It's my understanding from the MOU that post-construction, the library patrons will have to use the city's parking system to get into the undercover area. I believe that's the words that were in the MOU, if I understood them correctly.
Sorry, that wasn't clear. What we understood from the city was that they wanted to, after hours, be able to use the city's parking system, after library hours. We have no point of view on that. Whatever the city and the library, how they want to handle it, is okay with us. They are your spaces.
Okay. Pam, you okay?
Yeah, I think I'm
okay. Mike, okay?
I don't know.
Any more questions? Jennifer, any questions? Ken?
Yes, just one. You had mentioned in your presentation that the MOU has elements that the library wanted. What are those elements?
We understood that the library wanted to have more parking spaces and would like to have some that were covered in winter, as well as the access was something we were interested in. Access from that.
Could you reveal who at the library asked that?
I wouldn't want to point a finger at somebody because it feels kind of heated.
Okay, so that person was me.
She passes
that. I'll own that. Let me be real clear. Before the pandemic, some of you might remember that we had really serious parking shortage to the point where I had people emailing me, and then several times young moms called and held the phone to the back seat of the car or the top who was crying and said, well, we came for story time, but we couldn't find a place to park, so we're going home. And it was an issue. I don't know why so many people were parking from the businesses on Wallace, but it was difficult. We had staff who were late for their shifts because they couldn't find the parking space. Then the pandemic happened. Everything slowed way down. A lot of people began to work remotely, I think, from some of these businesses over here on Wallace. We have not yet come back to our attendance numbers that we had before the pandemic, but we are coming back slowly but surely, so now we're averaging about 1,000 people a day. And I think that at this point today, tomorrow, it's not critical, but I think that we will be needing, as the library grows, as our programs come back to normal attendance, at some point in the future we will need more parking.
How is the business parking going to change?
That's a good question. I don't have a plan for that yet. We have not planned anything. I'm saying that I would probably not be honest if I said to you there will never be a parking issue for the library.
I'd like to get this refocused on any more questions. Mike, do you have any?
A couple. I guess I'm returning to a question that I had about the limitation that appeared to be in the MOU, that appeared to be all-encompassing on the property, the height and building. And so I understood it to be rather important to the development. And so what I heard you say earlier was that all of those requests for you would accept no moratorium on building of any height.
Good clarifying question. So on the library portion, we would absolutely accept no height restriction. The library needs to grow.
Library portion?
Meaning not where we're building new structures. So for us to...
So not parking lot.
Right. If we spent $11 million and then we decided, you know what, we really want to build a new building right there, I couldn't sign up for that financial risk.
Oh. What about on the parking area that's not the parking structure? Because there's a lot of parking that's not part of that parking structure.
Is that something that you have plans for? To build on that portion?
No, I'm just...
So we'll
get to the discussion part later. I'm just wanting to understand what the parameters are that you're needing and requesting in terms of a moratorium, a 75-year or 150-year moratorium on building, and where would that apply?
So the term is also something we don't need 75 years for on that restriction. I'm glad you brought that up.
How many do you need?
We probably need 50. I'm thinking about if someone buys a home, 30-year mortgage, and they want to sell it, that's where my mind goes.
So again, back to the question on moratorium on building. Where would your request probably lie?
Somewhere in between the edge of the structure and where the parking lot is. We can be flexible on that, but I don't know until we get into it.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a hard.
So building could occur in the non-parking structure parking lot.
Building absolutely could occur. It's about going above the height of the existing library.
Okay. And so if there's no plan to do this, but if the library were to determine that they needed to use part of the parking, build more parking somewhere else, farther down south on the property, and it did not include the parking structure, the two-story parking structure, and we were going to build there in front of the library, would you want that building to be limited to the current height?
Well, I would want that, but it's not something I would walk away from this deal from. There are so many other things and moving pieces that it would be silly to just have a hard and fast no.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to open the floor to public comment. I ask that people come to the microphone in front. Please state your name, your address, and limit to 3 minutes. And our focus is going to be on the proposal for the library property, not development in general, and not the specifics of development along policy. It's simply a proposal placed before us.
I'm Glenn Monahan. I live here in Bozeman. I think that this is about as brazen a proposal as could be put forth. And I think the concessions that these two gentlemen are already willing to give pretty much shows that they realize that as well. Putting all that aside, though, the way Bozeman is growing, we have no idea what our future needs will be. The fact is that the city and the library own this land right now, and I think it would be foolish to give up any future options that the library has on this property. So I say no, 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 no.
My name is Abby McMillan, and I live right over there. I feel like I'm about to become the sole human who lives on this side of downtown because of all of the development. And primarily, my worry is about the asbestos remediation and mitigation that will have to happen for warehouse storage. I've gone through it before, and it's people walking around in hazmat suits, but they don't give one to me. And I'm living right there. The Cider House is also right next door, and I'm worried about traffic for them. We've just been through so much in the last couple of years with other construction and people not being able to get there, have a place to park, or not even wanting to go because it's too much of a hassle. So I appreciate everything that Glenn said and everything that you all have brought. I think the library is a great resource, and I think we just have a really special thing here, and I would like to keep it that way.
My name is Patricia Cornelius. I live in the Village downtown, which was a development with a lot of controversy, but it was built in an area that was not impacting any neighborhoods. I have a question about parking, since you were talking about parking. In your development, how many spaces are proposed that would be using the public parking area for each apartment or condo? I don't know what you're building, hotel room. How many parking spaces for each unit that will be constructed? How many spaces for each unit?
Whatever the code requires.
Can you go above the code, because the city code does not require enough, and then the parking overflows, as it does in the neighborhoods, into the neighborhoods, and it's like city lot.
Comments should be directed to the trustees.
Oh, sorry.
And we'll redirect them over there as appropriate.
Hi, my name is Dana Finnegan. I live at 210 McAdow Avenue, which is up the hill. I moved to Bozeman 12 and a half years ago, and one of my deciding factors was the fairly new big library. I just thought any community that has a library should be a good place to live. I left the East Coast, where I was a real estate agent, in a very dense community with a lot of development of expensive units. And every time you had a condo that required one parking space per unit, they filled those. But then all the overflow parking went out to the streets or if there were nearby parking lots. My concern is that the nominal, I don't know, 7 additional spots that come from this project will lose out to the fact that a good portion of those condos will have owners with more than one car. There's a restaurant where people will want to be parking. There's a ballroom, which I presume will have conferences and meetings during the week and weddings. Whether it's 20, 50, 100, 200 people attending those events, I presume they're going to overflow into the public parking. So I don't think that there is a parking benefit to the library. And if that's the case, I question why we would want to create any restrictions that would impact the future expansion of our library. The green space that is only accessible by a librarian is not, in my opinion, a public garden or public space the way the front of the library is. And at the very least, it seems to create an undue burden on librarians whose job is not to accompany people to a garden. Thank you very much.
Kelly Wiseman, 402 North Church. I'm against this project. I think that the bottom line question is, does it really benefit the library, which has to be obviously the highest calling, and I don't think it really does. It seems like we've had enough construction around to burden it. By the way, I've done a lot of commercial projects. The construction takes a lot longer than they say, and all the construction guys will park here. They will not park somewhere else. I can speak from very, very close experience with that one. I was 6 years on the Bozeman Parking Commission. I see some city staff folks here. I'm guessing they're viewing this as a really good opportunity to get some additional parking volume in town. I don't think it gets us what we need because we're not running out of parking on this end of Main Street at night. We will if we have a big development, but that's we're not supposed to address that. So one thing I would say, though, that if you are looking at a parking garage, you'll want to look very closely at maintenance. In our original parking garage, it wasn't really budgeted to deal with a whole lot of crack repair and a lot of other things. The parking garage is not without its maintenance needs, and I understand that they say that they will take care of them. That's great, but know that you need to have power washers, you need to have janitorial service. There's a lot of issues around the parking garage that do not. It is not just something that you set up and it runs by itself. Finally, there will be security cameras, I'm sure, as long with license plate reader technology. You'll need that for safety issues. Thing to understand, too, is a lot of people who are victims of assault don't like parking in parking garages because of the dark spaces between the cars and in the corners. So know that you're looking at putting up a structure that a number of people will not feel comfortable using. And I guess I question if this is really the route we need to take for this library. My answer to that would be no. So thanks for your service.
Name and address, is that the first thing we do? Jack Jelinski, 433 North Tracy, just over here. My question is, how did this all get started? Did the developers make the proposal to the library board, or did they make the proposal to the city? And you guys can answer this question. Did it start with a proposal that you made that must have been a year ago? So who gave the developers the go-ahead to develop the proposal to start this whole process? Does anyone want to answer that question?
We'll get the answers to your questions during our discussion rather than right now. This is just meant for public input. So yes, respond.
My name is Jeff Ball. I live at 323 South Wallace. I'm a neighbor to the property and to the proposed development. Very monotonous, but I am going to read the letter because I did not submit this. First, I want to thank each and every one of you on this board for your time, energy, and thoughtful fiduciary duty that you put in as stewards to the Bozeman Public Library. I honestly feel that the notion of a public library is one of humanity's noblest contrivances. Our family has been a neighbor to the library lands and to the Empire Building Supply property since 1992. The citizens and residents of Bozeman fund the majority of the city of Bozeman's activities. The 14-acre site was readily available to the marketplace to developers, but no private sector player stepped forward to clean up the former Pacific Hyden for a recycling site, nor the asbestos ore repository. Bozeman residents and taxpayers willingly self-inflicted a bond to acquire and clean up the 14-acre library lands acquisition. In that process, it came to light that the citizens did not wish in any way, shape, or form to dispose of any of the 14 acres. In fact, many proposed the city formally dedicate the southerly portion as a park. That the citizens recognize the value of the site as a library location, but also as a jewel in the parks and open space crown, the essential hub of the Main Street to the Mountains Trail system, the open lands network that is Lindley, the cemetery, the trail system, and Bogart Park. This all came to a head soon after the acreage was acquired. A development group came to the city with an overture to acquire a portion of the acreage, the southern end not occupied by the library and library parking. The citizens quickly organized and, in concert with very little dissent, implored, demanded, and insisted that the city not sell. The will of the people held. Fast forward a generation, a score of years, 20 years, here we are again, an overture from a developer to grab our commons. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool to his folly. That's Proverbs 26:1. Since the site was acquired, the city has grown from 32,000 to 50,000. The Upper Gallatin Valley is nearly 200,000 residents. The city will never, ever be able to replace the library, the park, and open space that is the present 14-acre tract, nor does it need to do so. In 1994, our family approached a former library landowner, CMC Hart and Partners, to buy lots immediately to the south of us, a portion of the 14-acre in-town holding, the same 14 acres that we acquired as citizens. CMC responded with a brief, terse, and in retrospect, amusing reply, along with our uncashed earnest money check. Appreciate your unsolicited offer on CMC Heartland Partners Bozeman property. However, this property is being held, and we would not entertain an offer such as this. There is much discussion on socialism and Bozeman's experience of perverse socialism. The former director of planning stated, development never pays its way. The cost of development are being shifted to the citizenry and the profits of development are being inuring to a few pockets. The unsolicited overture from the Empire property is a prime example. The developers asking for a huge sacrifice on citizens with impacts on the neighborhood and library while the Empire property is being built. There's nothing in this. I encourage, implore, and request that you all take a page from CM Hartman's book, Decline and Say No. I had asked the Library and City to dedicate the southern end as park in perpetuity. It would be a shame to have to organize another citizen mob. I have no doubt that we could amass a mob in very short order. In respect of your time, the developer's time, and the citizens of Bozeman's time, truncate the discussions, decline, and move on. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tom Stonecipher. I'm the president of the Bozeman Public Library Foundation Board of Directors. The foundation raised $5.5 million recently in a capital campaign for the renovations and the improvements that have gone on in this library. I want to say that so far we've received only negative comments from our donors with respect to this proposal, and some have said, one in writing, that they would not donate further to the library if this improvement goes ahead. I want to comment on the basic concept here, not the memorandum of understanding. I think this is a terrible concept for the library and would be a terrible mistake for the use of its space. The library has a marvelous parcel of ground here. It's irreplaceable. It's available for any development the library might like to have, whether it's 5 years, 50 years, or 150 years that's set forth in that MOU. And who knows what that development might be. Certainly, this canvas should not be restricted for 270 covered parking spaces when the library right now has adequate parking. It should not be restricted for money, not that anything's coming now, when the library has a wonderful donor base which generously supports it now. It would be a catastrophic mistake to give up or encumber for anyone other than the library one square inch of the land the library controls here, and especially so to benefit a multi-million-dollar development that would significantly impact and limit our use of this land. So please, drive a stake through the heart of this proposal and reject it fully, with no further negotiation. Thank you.
My name is Shasta Winston. I live at 1409 South Black, and 10 years ago, my husband and I redeveloped a 1929 warehouse adjacent to the public library property. The possibilities and limits of our project were determined by our ability to remediate the site of a former asbestos warehouse and to provide the code-required on-site parking. Our lot is the same width as Left Lane's lot, and yet we were able to create a landscape parking lot in our footprint, and this did involve taking down a metal warehouse, leasable space, in order to fulfill the demands of the code. As we designed and executed our project, we had conversations with both the public library and the city about the importance of connectivity to the library and to Lindley Park. We configured our walkways and landscaping to allow public access to these facilities from the Olive Street intersection and from the far end of our building. Both of those passages would be permanently blocked by the walls of the proposed garage, so we'd be losing access points as well as gaining one. When I graduated from Bozeman High School in 1997, 25 years ago, I couldn't have imagined the Bozeman I live in today and that I love even as it grows and that I work to participate in and shape with community engagement. I can't imagine a Bozeman in another 25 years, or 75 years, or 150 years, but I know the public library will matter in that city. We can't predict the scope and scale and shape of future public use, and we should not give up our right to use all of the library property to accommodate those needs. I urge us to fiercely protect the possibilities for what lies ahead for the central institution, this civic hub, this place where we can all come together. Tonight, I want to encourage continued future thinking. Let's honor the legacy made possible by decades of substantial public and philanthropic investment that turned what was once a fence strip of contaminated land into a beautiful library. Let's take this public site completely out of the discussion, off the table as a bargaining chip. I'm confident that there are many creative and beautiful ways that Left Lane can develop that big property without compromising the future of our core institution as they become part of the fabric of this community.
My name is Daniel Carty. I'm at 213 North 3rd. I'm speaking today in opposition to the parking lot structure memorandum of understanding. On Sunday, October 8th, 2006, I was one of many Bozeman residents who took part in the Bozeman Public Library's Book Brigade, during which we passed hand-to-hand many, many books from the former Bozeman Public Library building, which is now City Hall, to the Bozeman Public Library building in which we are meeting today. In my view, the 2006 Book Brigade was not really about moving books from one building to another cheaply. Instead, it was about Bozeman residents giving freely of their time, about community building, and about enhancing Bozeman's historical sense of place. Today, we have heard a presentation from wealthy investors and luxury housing developers that is not about giving, but instead is about taking. That is not about community building, but instead is about tearing down community. That is not about enhancing Bozeman's historical sense of place, but instead is about diminishing Bozeman's historical sense of place. Specifically, the developers, via their MOU, want to co-opt our library parking lot, destroy many of our library's trees and much of our library's green space, destroy much of our library's shared use path with access to Lindley Park and Pete's Hill, and cause the removal of many of our library's outdoor art sculptures. For these acts of environmental, social, and cultural degradation, the developers propose to pay our library $1 a year for up to 150 years. By itself, this proposal is absurd, even if it were adjusted annually for inflation. However, when added into the bargain is a developer's prohibition against our library expanding in any way that might adversely affect the developer's leased light and air, the developer's proposal becomes beyond the pale, meaning outside the bounds of acceptable human behavior. Today I brought with me a Bozeman Public Library copy of Aldo Leopold's 1949 classic, A Sand County Almanac. In this book, Leopold elucidated his concept of land ethic, the idea that the well-being of people and land is intertwined. In the foreword to A Sand County Almanac, Leopold wrote the following, and I quote, "This much is crystal clear. Our bigger and better society is now like a hypochondriac, so it's obsessed with its own economic health, and I would add with its own economic wealth, as to have lost the capacity to remain healthy. Nothing could be more salutary at this stage than a little healthy contempt for a plethora of material blessings," unquote. Arguably, this statement by Leopold is as true today as it was back in 1949. In summary, there is nothing in developers' proposed MOU that benefits our library in the short or long term, and nothing in the developers' proposed MOU that benefits the Bozeman community as a whole. Consequently, I ask you, our Library Board of Trustees, to deny the developers' proposed MOU. Thank you.
My name is Holly Brown. I live in the county. I was a member of the Board of Trustees that built this library. I was on the board when we bought the land. My question is addressed to the city attorney, board, and the city commissioners in relation to the closure agreement with the EPA and the Superfund site. I don't have access to those documents anymore, so I haven't read them recently. But my question has to do with the orphan fund, and I vaguely remember that there was something about a payback that the city would be responsible for, potentially the library, but this is city property, so I think the city is the one that would be responsible for any payback on the orphan fund from that closure agreement. And so I don't see where that's been addressed in the proposal. Perhaps it's been addressed in the discussions with the developers regarding the expense of the Superfund or the asbestos cleanup at this point. I also just want to recollect that the asbestos removal portion of the construction was only accomplished because the city at that time was able to work with us, even the library board, and the city dump facility was available to encapsulate the asbestos that was removed from the site, which saved an incredible amount of money. So it's an expensive undertaking that would be required. How much of that is impacted by any potential access to the land underneath the existing parking lot, I can't say because I haven't looked at those documents. So just a question for the City Council to address. Thank you.
My name is Jenny Stratton. I live at 915 South 3rd and have 451 years. My husband and I did send a very short comment. However, we didn't address one thing that I've not heard addressed yet today. And after 51 years in the title insurance business, it's a real curiosity to me that the memorandum requests that the library be divided from the parking lot property and create a separate COS, certificate of survey, for that property. And the only reason I can think that they want that to happen is so that in the future it will be easier for them to purchase the entire parking lot where they won't have to deal with the encumbrance of the library. I wish you would consider that and vote no.
Hi, my name is Megan Stageman. I live at 101 Aylesworth, which is in the neighborhood right up here above Lindley Park. There's lots of reasons that I would say no to this development, but we're here to talk about the parking and all that. I commute coming out onto Main Street every day, or I ride my bike through the park, and I just see so many wild intersections and people. This coming out of this parking lot here is kind of crazy. Coming into it is kind of crazy. I just would be very concerned about what the traffic is going to be like with the new parking lot and the new development. Also, that intersection of Babcock and Wallace, where you can take two choices left, and the two going north-south are supposed to stop. That is like a near accident every single day. So I'm sure you probably already went over that. I just got in here, but that's one of my biggest concerns. Thanks.
My name is Tricia LaCaine, and I live on Sourdough Road, and I'm a mental health care provider in this town for a long time. Everyone's bringing up great points, why to say no, and mine is coming from the mental health of the community, and I feel like it's nowhere safe now. Not even our library is safe from all the development and from out-of-state people coming in and taking precious green space, and it means so much to the community. And I can tell you, people really are talking about it. In my office, my patients have been talking about it all week. They're distraught. It has an effect, and it sends a message that nothing is safe. We don't honor our green space. We don't take care of our community. It's the library. It's supposed to be neutral for everybody to enjoy. And I think if we look at all over the world, there are lots of libraries that don't have parking, and people manage to get there and enjoy it and take their children there, and all people in the community and world can come and enjoy it. And 270 parking spaces that only benefit an out-of-state developer just seems like a lot to give up for that. Thank you.
I hope I don't pull a Joe Biden on you, but here we go. I am Charlotte Knighton, 501 North Church, and former member of the Beautification Board here in Bozeman. I agree with much of what I've heard. The only thing I would like to add to that is to tell you that I am here personally this afternoon with 92 years of fury. I am personally here this afternoon. The whole proposal is a travesty. This property is really the crown jewel of our city and should remain a public space.
Yes,
how do you
like that?
Hello, I'm Justin Alexander. I live on the west side of town. I'm also a design professional. I own an architectural firm in town, and I work for developers for the last 20 years. And I know I'm in the minority in all of this, but I have to say, you know, listening to these developers and reading through their plan, I'm not hearing anything from the development group that doesn't hark towards a partnership between private and a public entity. And there's many different urban sectors that I've worked in where the same partnership exists. You know, their proposed plan of leasing out subgrade parking area with an addition of the parking on site is still your guys' site to park. And I felt like reading through this proposal that it was a very good proposal in the sense of the development group and a partnership of willing to listen to everybody on the committee, everybody in here, to ensure that there's positivity with this development. So I do encourage you guys to speak to these developers, because not many are like this. And I think that they are willing to hear everybody's voice in the community and really work with the community to make it a positive development.
Hi, my name is Becky Weed. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. My address is 13,000 Spring Hill Road, Belgrade, Montana. I'm here in part because I'm a former geologist. I used to work for Resource Technologies, which is the company that was involved with the investigation and cleanup when the library board first got involved. I spoke with Mark Johnson, the owner, this afternoon. He's on a job up in northern Montana right now, and he authorized me to express his concern that the library board, the city commission, the county commissioners, and the DEQ speak with him before they take anything on. There are ongoing issues underground. There was a voluntary cleanup plan, which was not completed for specific reasons, but any further disturbance of the site will require an update. So I urge you to contact Mark Johnson, and I'm happy to share his contact information. My personal comment is that I know I'm not a Bozeman resident. I live in the county, but everything that Bozeman does affects all of us in the county and, for that matter, the state of Montana. And we all are watching as all of our public institutions are struggling to deal with forces that are bigger than Montana, one of which is the influx of a ton of people. And one of the few institutions which is managing to find a way to focus on public health, affordable education, community engagement, and thus indirectly everything else connected with those things is the library. And as far as I can tell, anything that compromises that one remaining vibrant institution, which hasn't been completely overridden already, please don't do it. We can find better ways to earn our way through this crazy world. Thank you.
Hi, Tase Josephson, 527 West Babcock Street, 5th-gen Montanan, book lover, and a product manager at a logistics company. So in my job, my sole goal is to create new tools or ideas that provide value to my clients. And to preface, I'm not opposed to development in and of itself, so long as it benefits society. Unfortunately, I, along with several hundred of my closest friends, seem to agree that this proposal does not benefit our community. There are great quotes about how magical a library is to society, but to keep it simple, I'll use Albert Einstein, who once said, "The only thing that you absolutely need to know is the location of the library." And I don't know about you guys, but relatively bright guy. In a town that is consistently listed as one of the fastest growing small cities in the U.S., while also facing substantial issues with income inequality, it is absolutely egregious that we are entertaining the idea to restrict access to one of the few institutions that allows anyone from any walk of life access to knowledge. I grew up in Big Timber, Montana, and while I have a dear love for my own Carnegie Library, I can remember how excited I was to visit this library in 2006 when it opened. And in the years since, I think the library really has lived up to that hype. Just the amount of people that I see using it whenever I go by, and what it's done for people of all different levels of socioeconomic activity. So it's just been an awesome resource for our community, and the problem with this development is it could have massive negative consequences to everything so many people have worked so hard to create, not to mention funded by a lot of taxpayer dollars. As a young person, the future can seem bleak at times, but I continually try to remain an optimist about Bozeman and also the future of our country. I think this development that limits access to, again, one of the most sacred institutions in our, quite frankly, mankind's history would be a massive step backwards. And so I would really implore you guys from the bottom of my heart, the Library Board of Trustees, to help me, a young guy, maintain his optimism for the future, and please reject this proposal. Thank you.
My name is Lisa Verwise. I'm at 501 Secretariat, which is in Belgrade, but I am at this library at least once a week. This is my second time visiting this week. I love reading. What I want to say is I just don't believe that you should continue discussions with the developer on this parking facility. Public libraries might be the last place that any of us can go without the expectation that we'll spend money while we're there. Libraries are open to you regardless of your socioeconomic status. It's antithetical to that core concept to take a space meant to serve library patrons and allow development by a commercial entity. While this may be called a lease, my past years of museum experience tell me that once something leaves the public domain, it very rarely returns. This will likely always serve a commercial venture limited to those who can afford it. The length of the lease is incredibly long, and it doesn't seem that the library gains any significant financial or public benefit from it. Instead of benefits, the library faces aggressive restrictions on its own development for the length of the lease, constraining the ability of the library to grow for a lease term of 75 to 150 years does not serve the public. Giving up the space now will inhibit future library planning to create facilities that do serve the public. That's stealing from our future for the convenience of parking spaces short term. Anytime we can keep well-used public spaces public, we should do so. This facility and the deal are not structured for the benefit of the library or the people who use it. While you may gain parking spaces, the trade-off is not worth the price. If increased parking is desired for the library, I'd love to see you created on terms that benefit the patrons that are being served. Thank you.
Hello, neighbors. Jeff Krause. I live on the other end of town. It's about as far away from here as you can get and still be in Bozeman. I had a couple questions, one of which echoed what Jack Yerlinski said, which is I don't understand how it got this far, the city and all versus the library, how this was all negotiated, why we're here. I also am not sure. I'm better now at asking questions than remembering anything. I do remember either a bond document or a vote to acquire this property for the benefit of the library, which is why you guys are, as an administrative board, responsible for this. And I don't know that that allowed the conversion of this property from a public benefit to a private benefit. I'd be very interested in an answer for that. I don't understand why you, as a library board, would participate in the overbuilding and overselling of Bozeman. I spoke here at the occasion of opening the library, and I recall talking about how proud I was that the primary building on the Main Street entrance to Bozeman, entryway to Bozeman, was a library, and how it was sort of featured here. And I don't think that you should participate with facilitating through leasing a parking area in diminishing the stature of this building or this prominence of this library as someone comes to town. This library makes a statement when you drive into town. It says, we're literate. We read. We're a literate community, and I don't think that a seven-story building a quarter block away. Finally, I just wanted to say I recall many of the things about the asbestos that underlies us all here, and I also recall just how complicated those issues are. Glad that issue's been brought up. Frankly, when we tried to put a stoplight at the corner of Wallace and Main, that little stoplight was delayed because the hole dug up big chunks of ore. It's that ubiquitous. So I understand that people can do this and that we don't have any choice in some of it, but we don't have to facilitate it. Thank you.
Mike Long, 1640 Kenyon Drive. I speak as someone who believes that free, uncensored public libraries should be considered sacred. They are a vital layer in the veneer, that allows us to call ourselves civilized. I don't see how this proposal will add value to the library, and I do see potential ways that it detract value from the library. It's not unlike crossing a Great Dane with a Chihuahua. You aren't going to know what you're going to get when that DNA gets scrambled until it's too late. And I never thought I would be publicly quoting Nancy Reagan, but please, just say no.
That's a hard one to follow. My name is Paul House, 510 North Church. As hard as it to believe, I'm old enough to have carried books from the original public library to what is now City Hall, and then did it again from City Hall to here. I don't want to take a lot of time. I'm going to echo everything that I'm basically hearing tonight. I will say that immediately my first thought was, oh, remember when they wanted to sell off Emerson Lawn to build a football field for the high school? Or maybe it was just to cover the cost of the AstroTurf. Yeah, when things go away, open space goes away, it doesn't ever go back. You don't see blocks getting removed and parks getting installed. So this is a one-way street. I don't support the idea, the concept on it at all. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. Elizabeth Marum, 814 East Missoula, Belgrade. And while you think that perhaps Belgrade doesn't have an interest in this, we very much do. We're county residents. We pay county taxes as well as you do, and a portion of those go to the library. This deal might look good in the short term, but it could change the character of access to the library in the long run. And there are people in Belgrade that use the library from pre-K all the way through post-secondary because we can afford to live there. So part of this calculation might be about housing, though we know it's not, and it's not a regulatory thing. But it bears consideration when you see the kind of crowd that you see out here today, both out in the hall and here, that public property has a great public concern. I represent most of the comments that have gone before you, but I want to remind you that the public has its eye on this, and we're concerned about it, and we think, in my opinion, an ill-advised plan for a small amount of parking. So I urge you to vote no. Thank you.
I'm Allison Levy, and I live at 308 South Black. And I have never come to one of these before. I'm, I guess, embarrassed to say. I feel so strongly about this, I had to come. I have luxury development fatigue. Things I think about are traffic. I think about the farmer's market. I think about construction. Where are the contractors going to park? Downtown infrastructure, in my opinion, can't handle today's traffic, nor today's monster trucks. And in the snow, it's even worse. These seem to me to be basic logistics, not to mention lack of affordable housing. I'm a renter. I'll be a lifelong renter. I have wonderful landlords that don't charge me an arm and a leg, but I'll never be able to buy here. And lack of people to work, the 200-some jobs that will be created. Nor the lack of water to keep a rooftop garden green. We are in a drought situation, and I have a gardening business, so, well, we all know that water's a precious commodity. So reading about Left Lane, I feel we are a secondary market right to be exploited again. Thank you.
My name is Ken Younger, 17 Hitching Post Road. Einstein was mentioned earlier, and Einstein was famous for his thought experiments, and I suggest a thought experiment. Let's say that the hotel and residence development and their parking already existed, and the city came along and proposed to you, hey, I've got a great idea. Give up some of your parking, constrain what you're going to do in the future to let us build a new library. How would that go over? How long would it take you to consider that proposal? Second, I'd ask the trustees, is there any statute or law or rule that says you need to say yes to this project? And my final comment would be, and I don't want to be inflammatory, and this is not a serious threat, but you guys surely have watched Yellowstone on TV. I thought that would lead to say, if an outsider comes to town with an outrageous land grab, how do you think that would go over?
Kevin Pinnell, Arabian Avenue, Bozeman. I spent 25 years working in investment banking, and if someone had come to me with a proposal like this, just thinking of the library as a business, I would have just burst out laughing and tossed them out of the room. This is absolutely absurd. It's just another corporate giveaway. And if anyone wants to consider this, then frankly, it should be put on the ballot in May and let the people who actually own this building and that parking lot vote on it. Yep. And everyone in this room knows how that will turn out. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Nicholas Wicks, 4892 Alfred Drive, Bozeman. First, I want to thank the library trustees for their time and commitment to the Bozeman community. I believe that there is an opportunity for a public-private partnership to maximize parking with a parking garage in the library's current lot, but only to the benefit of the existing publicly funded and privately supported and cherished library. I say cherished, I sit on the Library Foundation board, so I think you all get how I feel about the library. I urge the library trustees to deny the developer's current proposal to build a parking garage on the library's parking lot for the following reasons. Firstly, insufficient consideration has been offered to the library, City of Bozeman. I stand corrected, $150 over 150 years, not adjusted for inflation. Insufficient consideration in the following areas. Increased capacity for library parking over the next 150 years. 270 non-dedicated library spaces just doesn't cut it. Capacity for the library's square footage to grow as Bozeman continues to be one of the fastest growing communities in the country. The library's air rights would essentially be owned by the developer. Insufficient consideration for improving access to the natural assets around the library. Let's remember that the natural assets in and around Bozeman are why most of us are here. Improved access to and availability of public art assets. Improved traffic flow in and out of the library and adjoining neighborhoods. Removing the traffic circle is contrary to studies of their effectiveness in relieving congestion. Secondly, the developers have provided no guarantee of undisturbed access to the library or availability of parking for the library's patrons during 2+ years of the development. And lastly, the library will lose considerable, and this may ruffle some feathers, but I feel that the library will lose considerable donor support if the community's recent $5.5 million renovation is obstructed for a further 2 years to accommodate a private entity's business goals. In closing, the library's parking lot and therefore City of Bozeman-owned property is exponentially more valuable than the proposal's consideration. There will be plenty of other interested parties in the years to come who will see the library, its parking lot, Bozeman, and our natural assets for what they are truly worth. Public-private partnerships can provide tremendous value to all parties if done right. Library trustees, please deny the developer's current proposal for you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for the hard work you're doing. I'm Al Jager. I've been here since 2004. And we know that this place means a lot to all of us here. And what I'm about to say is frankly frank, and that is to address the investors in this monument to greed. And that is that the goose that laid the golden egg in Bozeman is dead. It was strangled by growth. I was late arriving here tonight because I had traffic on Spring Hill Road, traffic on South 19th, traffic on Huffine. That reminds me of the way that Boulder, Colorado became. And Bend, Oregon, the same thing happened. We're surrounded by growth. And Bozeman has, its real gift was its charm and community. Lawns and open sky. And we're seeing that disappear very quickly.
Excuse me, could I ask you to focus on the proposal coming before the war rather than growth in general?
Yes, to that point. The fact is that if Bozeman's growth stops quickly when people realize that there's no longer something here that they desire, then you're going to have a monstrosity next door to you if it's not stopped now. Because the goose that laid the golden egg is cooked. Stick a fork in it. Save what we can.
Hi, I'm Whitney Chaplow. I am an architect here in Bozeman. And I appreciate all the comments that have come before this. Just wanted to offer a couple of design critiques on why this proposal is not a good proposal for Bozeman, Montana. One, Left Lane hired an architect out of Nashville, which is a very different climate. What we have here, specifically with the parking garage cover thing, park. I don't know if they really understand how things grow in Montana and the amount of concrete that you would need to create the structure that you would need to support the depth to grow any sort of trees on an exposed structure like that. So the, you know, cutesy green space that they're creating is really negated by the amount of embodied carbon that would go into the concrete. And the fact that most of the things probably wouldn't live because you couldn't get enough soil depth to keep them alive during the winter. It's the reason that most of our green roofs are succulent sediums and not tall grasses and trees. Second, the building itself is taking up one of the coolest walks off of Main Street, which has these really beautiful, old, unique buildings that I'm sure charmed you guys when you first came here. And for some reason, you're replacing them with an Equatorial Holiday Inn. And I don't quite understand how an architect could take a town with this much rich building history and come up with something so generic and placeless. And I'm asking you, if you're going to gut our town and plunder our resources, at least make it look good. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Bill Clinton, 216 Lilly Place, longtime Bozeman resident and a Montana native. I agree with much of the things that have been said so far, but I want to make this personal. I grew up in a small Montana town with an even smaller library, not much bigger than my living room, actually. And I remember those fantastic Saturday afternoons in the middle of winter when I and the librarian were the only people in that building. I had a personal relationship with that building, with that library, with that information. It shone a light on a world that I didn't know existed outside of that little town that I grew up in. I had a personal relationship with that library. It was my library. This is my library. This is your library. This is important that we keep it that way and don't compromise. I heard a comment about, well, I've seen compromises work before. You know, we don't have to do things like every other town. We don't have to compromise. This is our library we're talking about.
Lindy Bunch. I live in the county, but I lived in the city for 23 years. And I've lived in the county for 23 years. I volunteer at the library, and I see the hardworking librarians, and I appreciate them very much. And thank you, library board. When I moved to Bozeman, we had the little Carnegie Library. And then we voted with our pocketbooks to have the bigger library. And then we voted with our pocketbooks again to have this wonderful library. And, you know, I vote always on the side of libraries. And I vote with my time. And I vote with my money. And I don't vote with my $11 million ever, because I don't have that kind of money. But I have time, and I have enthusiasm, and I have a love for the library. I'll always be on the library side. Thanks.
I'm David Losef, 201 South Grand. I entered my comments in written comments, so I won't reiterate it. It echoes a lot of the comments raised tonight. But I did feel that it was important to enter into the public record Greg Sullivan's case and Tom Stonecipher's case. You know, first of all, Jeff, I think there are legal restrictions that you may be facing in terms of transferring assets. I think, as Nicholas Wicks pointed out, in many respects, this is a sale or a transfer. I mean, a 150-year lease, a dollar a year or even more, triggers what I would consider to be a de facto sale, a sale of air rights. It's essentially, you're putting a conservation easement on future development of the land. It's also a sale of the ground rights. So beyond the economics of asbestos remediation and other stuff, it is or would be arguably deemed a transfer of public assets. If that's the case, there is a body of statute, both at the state level with respect to sale of public assets, appraisal values, all sorts of things that have to take place. There also is, at the municipal code level, a number of restrictions. That raises a whole series of delegated authorities that you as board would have on whether you can even enter into a binding agreement over the transfer of public assets not subject to those statutes. So I just want that to be added into your consideration. Thank you.
I'm Melissa Ritchie. I live at 205 South 7th Avenue, and I work at 215 South Wallace Avenue, so right across from this proposed development. And I understand that this parcel will be developed. I get that. I'm against what they're proposing right now. Specifically, I think the library is just giving up too much in this, with this development. The 75-year easement for light and air that would prohibit the library from constructing anything on its own property, it's just too much to agree to. The lease for the parking lot property prohibiting the library from adding an addition or an annex is just not allowing our library to grow. Our community's growing. What our library is doing to shift and meet the needs of our community, what they've done recently is wonderful to meet the needs of our community. And for the library to give that up, its ability to continue to meet the needs of our community is stunning to me. You have to say no to this. I'm also really irked about this plan prioritizes protecting the light, air, and views in favor of the hotel patrons. That's just disgusting. You've got to say no to that. So we really need to preserve our library, our civic space for the people, for us. Thank you.
My name is Catherine Ball. I live at 323 South Wallace, and I am a neighbor. We've lived here in that particular location since 1992. I want to go back just for a second in the history of this piece of property. We bought this piece of property with the idea that this piece of property would have a library on it. It would have a community hub. It would be a link for all the trail system. It had an old depot on it. There was talk about it being our park and rec center. That was why we voted to extend that bond, to buy that bond and to pay for it. We are still paying for that bond, if I'm not mistaken. In 2005, the library realized, we did that, the library realized that they didn't have enough money to build the building, and they wanted to sell it off. Over 1,200 people signed a petition that said, no, you cannot sell off any of this land. The purpose of this land is to create this hub, this jewel, this central park for Bozeman. the Stanley Park for Bozeman. You cannot sell it off. Give us a chance. Create an ad hoc committee where we can come together with better ideas, and we will find a way to pay for that library. We did that. We're smart. We're determined. We're creative. And now we are here. 20 years later, not quite, we're here. We have a responsibility to be guardians of this piece of property for future generations. It is our job, and we cannot sell it off. We do not know what future generations are going to need. We don't know what they're going to want, what their desires are, but we have an obligation to them to protect this piece of property. And I guarantee you in 20 years, they will be doing the same. And I'm urging you tonight to say no to this, to say no, to end it, to end all discussion, to stop the discussions for future people, other developers who want to come here and take pieces of our jewel, just slowly nibbling away at it until we have nothing left. This is ours, and we will fight for it. And I'm urging you tonight, say no. Send the message. Never are we selling our library land or leasing it. Never. Thank you.
I'd like to thank all the commentators for the thought, energy, and effort they put into their comments, both verbally tonight and the written ones. I'd also like to thank Andy and Casey for hanging in there and giving them the courtesy to listen to some of this stuff. It would have been easy to kind of skulk out. You listen to the comments, about to dive in discussion. But I appreciate everybody's contribution to what I think has been a fruitful, worthwhile discussion. I'm not going to turn it over to the trustees for a discussion. What I'd like to do is ask if each person would like to make a brief observation or comment, and then I'd quickly like to get us into a motion that we can then frame the real meat around the conversation. So if you could just make a brief comment, if you so choose, but then I'd like to entertain a motion about what we should do going forward.
Usually you have a motion first, and then you have the discussion. So I will make the motion that the Board of Trustees does not pursue this development any farther.
It's moved and seconded that the Board of Trustees not pursue this any further.
I can make some comments if you want to. I read through the MOU. I can't see anything that benefits the library. I appreciate everyone's comments. I'm really grateful you all came out and took the time, and the 151 people who wrote, that I read all of your comments also. We are entrusted by the public to take care of this property and the library. I used to work here, so I did help move the books from the old building to the new building, which is not new anymore, even though we call it the new library. And I appreciate the public sentiments here, and I don't think we can go against the public sentiment that's been displayed tonight, so I would say don't pursue it. Thank you.
First, let me state that I do support the motion, but I want to give a little ground on background on why. This is a project that exceeds the property. Its need for space exceeds the property that's available, and it's the responsibility of a developer to resolve that issue. It's not a library issue to resolve, as a friend of mine used to say, not my pig, not my farm. And I just think it's not hot for us to have to address. And the reason I feel that is that I'm not opposed to community partnerships in development throughout the community in and of themselves, but I feel that those community partnerships should come into play when the public entity identifies a need and sees that there is a community partner that can help them resolve that and benefit both that private partner and the public entity. But in this case, I just feel that appropriating public land is not the answer. Public land for private use. Now, my basic reason for supporting the motion is really fundamentally is not based on any of the pros and cons of this proposal. It's based upon the process. And what this process has created is the need for all of you and us to respond and react to a proposal. That does not engender creativity, problem solving, in that kind of a process. People are defending, put in a defensive stance, and what needs to happen, I believe, is a long-range planning process for, first of all, we don't have an immediate parking problem. We have some parking issues. But once, as the community grows and as library usage returns to pre-pandemic levels, we will have a growing parking issue. We need a long-range parking plan that is the result of a long-range planning process. That process would include the trustees, the library director and staff. It would include Library Foundation board members. It would include Friends of the Library members. It would include otherwise unaffiliated public members. It would include city staff. And it could include interested developers or other community entities. But it has to be a process, and I'm talking about something that could last 6 months or a year, and maybe even be ongoing. And so I doubt that a six-month delay or a year delay, that just isn't going to pencil out for you all. I understand that. But if you have a process that identifies, okay, these are the things we need, and then we find some private partners in the community that might help us resolve some issues, that's fine. But it has to come from that kind of a collaborative process. And as trustees, we were made aware of this MOU 22 days ago.
Yes.
And some community members got to see it after that and have seen it. You've quoted from it. And we analyzed it, and we've studied it. And even tonight, I discovered that most of the things that I was concerned about, they're not set in stone. So that MOU is a moving target. And so that just demonstrates how the process is not sufficient or adequate for us to really think creatively around the needs of the library and the public benefit.
I'm Jennifer Pollack, and I support the motion to not move forward. And since we're all library users, you're probably familiar with the Lorax, so I'm just going to refer very close to Dr. Mrs. Lorax. So as a library trustee, I speak for the library users, and I've heard everyone speak tonight. I read all the comments, and I am happy to support the motion to not proceed.
Hi, I'm Ken Spencer. Very humble and impressed with the showing from you all. Take a look at your library. We've done a lot of really cool things in the last 2 years. One of the emails that we got was from a 10-year-old girl, and I want to print this out, post it somewhere. She expressed what a treasure we have here. I don't know what the future holds for that 10-year-old girl. I have no idea. In 75 years, most of us will be gone. I don't even know if we'll be driving cars at that point. I don't know if we'll need them. My family has farmed and ranched in Montana for 100 years, and I keep hearing my grandfather's words, good fences and good neighbors.
I support the motion. I think we have a long-term responsibility to support the needs of the library and the customers, clients who come in here tomorrow, in 10 years, and I think for us to cede responsibility to another party would be abrogating our responsibilities that we have, both by statutory requirement and I think by sacred requirement. So I cannot support you. I support the proposal. All those in favor of supporting the motion to not proceed with the proposal, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
You have just heard a recording of the Bozeman Public Library Board of Directors meeting on November 15, 2023, in the community room of the Bozeman Public Library regarding the proposal by New York-based developer Left Lane to lease public land currently occupying the west side of the library parking lot. This has been a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire for broadcast and archiving on listener-supported Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KGVM Bozeman. It's important that you do your part to financially support your local listener-sponsored community radio so that we can continue to bring you events such as these. And you can contribute by going to kgvm.org and click on the Gold Support KGVM button at the top of the page. All volunteer staffed, KGVM is a 501c3 nonprofit, so your contribution is tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law. We thank you for listening and for your support.